second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and our guest today is Dr. Anthony Santelli. I mentioned before that RBN is conducting a pledge drive to expand their programming to a much wider audience, and we actually depend on our listeners to help us stay in business, to buy the products that RBN has, and to just basically pay the staff. The network does not operate free of charge. It has a lot of costs involved here. And so you can contribute to the pledge drive. You can support RBN by purchasing products from the RBN website. And I suggest that you purchase business cards and bumper stickers. You can also subscribe to the archives. Now, the archives are only $1.33 per month, which is, it's just next to nothing. You may subscribe to the archives for, say, $10 or $15 or whatever you feel like you can afford. You can also support RBN by purchasing some advertising if you have a product or service to sell. And you can do all of this by going to republicbroadcasting.org. And it's very important. And I hope that you will consider helping. As I mentioned, our guest today is Dr. Anthony Santelli, and he is the author of The Free Person and the Free Economy, A Personalist View of Market Economics. And I believe, when did you write that book, in 02?
Well, now, that was a long time ago. I actually wrote that in the mid-90s. It ultimately got published in 02. You know, I guess people love to promote their books. I actually wouldn't promote that book. I'm a co-author of the book, and a lot of what I had done for it was actually taken out. So not much that's in there is actually mine. But it's a decent book. It's an academic book. I wouldn't recommend it to a popular audience.
Okay.
But
okay,
at any rate,
but I would recommend Culture Wars, in which your article appears. It's a very, very good magazine. And I recommend it. Okay, you were going to talk about the amortization schedule.
Yes. I mean, what happens is if you do have some extra money lying around, maybe you earned a bonus at the beginning of the year, whatnot, if you pay that down into the bank for your mortgage, they have to apply it to the principal if you're paying an extra payment. Okay. Now, the way mortgages are designed, it does not reduce your monthly payment. What it does is it reduces the length of time in which you have to make the payment. So let's say you have a 30-year mortgage, and you pay down more up front. Well, then maybe it'll end up being only a 27-year mortgage, okay, because you just paid down some principal and all the interest that would have accrued on that over time. You don't necessarily see the benefits of doing that in the short run, but when you're retired and you don't have and you still have to pay mortgage payments, that's pretty bad. So you kind of want to have it all paid down as soon as possible, and then you're in a much better situation, because if you would have paid what the average person, I believe, pays about $1,200 a month mortgage payments, when you own your home outright, you don't have to make those payments at all.
Right.
That's a great relief.
Exactly. And a lot of people think, it's good to have a mortgage payment so that you can claim it on your income tax, which I think is kind of unwise. I mean,
you actually can't claim the principal that you're paying. You can only claim the interest and take a deduction for it, and then only under certain situations. You have to claim that, and most people don't. They file the easy form, so they don't end up claiming it anyway. And you're just paying interest without any benefit at all. And even
right.
If you do claim it, it simply reduces your income. It's not like you're benefiting dollar for dollar, because if you're in, let's say, the 20% income tax bracket, you're only benefiting 20% back from the interest you're paying. So you're still paying the other 80.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Dr. Anthony Santelli. Stay tuned.
Do you ever find yourself in this situation? You're in your local health store looking for a remedy, and there are 20 different brands claiming to do the same thing. Well, it's time to stop worrying that it's a hopeless search. Fact is, every day we are exposed to an environmental medium that has become full of toxins. The only thing you can do to defend yourself is to find the solution. At TerraVim, we focus on carrying only the highest quality natural supplements. We understand it's a difficult task to filter through the multitude of options to find your divine source of immortality, your golden apple. That's why we have made available to you products that are at the top of their game. Natural vitamins and supplements your body understands how to utilize. Visit our website at terravim.com. That's TerraVim.com to find what you've always been looking for, the solution. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Resper 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
And we were talking about the banks, the mortgages, and of course the mortgage companies really don't want people to know about the amortization schedules.
Yeah, I mean it's a small way that you can reduce the amount of interest that you pay by paying down extra principal. I don't have exact numbers in front of me, but basically if you make, let's say, 13 payments a year instead of 12, then if you have originally start off with a 30-year mortgage, and you're making that additional payment each year, you'll probably end up having to pay only 25 or 26 years worth of payments before it's all paid off.
Right.
So it is beneficial to do that if you can.
Right, and the principal payment is often, you know, I think most mortgage companies take a larger principal payment at the beginning of a mortgage term.
Well, actually, the way it's designed is the largest principal is paid off at the back end. But if you make additional payments, 100% of what you additionally pay is attributed to the principal.
Right.
So if you have a 30-year loan. And let's say you make, I guess I can run it quickly on a calculator, but if you make an additional $1,000 up front, then if you were going to pay 5% interest on that, then that's compounded over 30 years. So you're basically saving $4,322 on the $1,000 that you've paid up front.
Right.
So that's, you know, in back interest that you'll see it at the back end of your mortgage.
Okay. Yeah,
It's the exact opposite of refinancing your home and taking out a bigger mortgage and then spending that money. The exact opposite.
Oh,
that just,
my
that
word.
That just puts you further and further into the hole.
That's one of the things that have
caused the current economic crisis.
Right. All righty. We are taking calls at 800-313-9443. Let's take Rodney in Illinois. Rodney?
I'm here, Deanna.
Yes.
Good afternoon to your guest, Dr. Santelli.
Hi, Rodney.
I'm very intrigued by your forthcoming work on usury. And I was going to offer a couple of suggestions that I would be surprised if you had not already made notations of further research in this regard. But just a couple. The more I look into the influence of John Calvin on the subject of usury, there seems to be sufficient evidence that he was responsible for, and using his influence in reversing a millennial-old prohibition against usury, which of course was rooted and grounded in Scripture.
Yeah.
And I find that really very troubling. You know, you've heard it said that politics seems to attract those who are least qualified to wield such power. Well, money and the as a tool seems to do the same thing. And this is what bothers me. And but you know, Christ himself spoke often about money, directly or indirectly through his parables. He spoke about property, and in a matter-of-fact way, he wasn't a communist, contrary to what somebody might who does not know him might assume. But you know, even such as his parable on the talents, 10, 5, and 2 were given to three different gentlemen. The one with 10, he put it to use, and earned an increase for his master. Same with the 5. But the one who was given the 2 buried it in the ground, and Christ chastised him and said, you could have at least put it in the bank and earned interest. And I think he meant that as not as a, this is a legitimate option, but I mean, what you did was so bad that even...
Actually, let me address that, because this is one of the most misunderstood passages of all of Scripture. And if you even read lots of commentaries on Scripture, they get this one wrong. The best way to interpret that, because the person who borrowed the 2 talents says, Master, I know that you are someone who reaps where you do not sow, and you are a hard man, so I just buried the money, and here it is what you gave me. And the reply from the master is, if I was someone who reaped, and sort of paraphrasing, what I didn't sow, as you claim, then you could have put the money in the bank and earned interest, because that is reaping where you did not sow. So your logic is inconsistent, Mr. Servant. You know, away with you. So the proper interpretation of that parable is not that Christ advocated interest, as a lot of people seem to understand, but precisely the opposite. He condemned interest as reaping where you do not sow.
Yeah.
And that's not what God ultimately does. In other words, the person had a complete misunderstanding of the nature of God.
And
in his perspective,
the many references he makes towards vineyards and agriculture, You know, if you plant, you know, if you have a landowner, which Christ used quite often, and his hired hands, day servants or day laborers or servants, you know, toil, and there is an increase, that is not the same thing as usury. That is not interest. That is something that ties us and gives us pause to be grateful and thankful to be part of a creation that will actually credit our labors. And two things. It endorses private property, and it points to, you know, he whom we should be grateful for the increase. Mm-hmm. And but anyhow, as you pursue your research on usury, I'm glad you have a very good grasp of things biblical, and I certainly look forward to having that available and reading it that sometime. But these are, you know, another thing you probably are aware of. You know, people often try to quote the scripture that says money is the root of all evil. That's how it's most often quoted.
That's not what it says.
That's not what it says. It's the root of all sorts or diverse evils.
That's and right. Kinds of evil, not all evil.
Like I said, you know, it attracts, you know, the dregs of society in three-piece Armani suits.
Right. You're right. Well, thank you so much, Rodney. Appreciate your call.
You're welcome, Dana. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you've addressed this issue about earning interest on fees or on bank deposits, where if you have certain kinds of checking accounts or savings accounts, that you're supposed to earn interest. But in fact, I mean, you've covered this and kind of changed my view on it altogether.
Yeah, you're basically participating in the whole system of usury, because if the banks have to pay you money on the money that they are lending out, then of course that becomes a cost of making the loan, and so then they would have the right to charge that interest plus an origination fee in making the loans. But what gives you the right to the interest in the first place? And that's where it falls apart.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's what you said. What gives depositors the right to earn a fee from the bank? And I thought, yeah. What does give the depositor a right? Because we're basically saying it's okay. I mean, interesting.
The way to work it is, you know, a bank is a system by which people can pool their money together. So there's, you know, there's a use of diversification of risk. So in a non-usurious world, you'd put your money into the bank with everybody else, and that money would be invested in companies, and some of it could be invested in fairly secure investments, you know, utilities or whatever, that you know, that you could be pretty confident that you're going to earn a profit on. But not necessarily, okay, because God forbid, in a utility company, you have some kind of nuclear disaster like they had over in Japan, and then you're going to suffer a loss. So there are no guarantees, even in things that are quite secure. But you can make investments that pay, you know, a decent rate of return over a fairly reasonable period of time, but there is always a risk.
Right, and you've used the example of a bucket. Everybody puts their funds into a bucket, and why should one person or anybody get paid interest if you've all put equal amounts into that entity? So it's I really love your article. I hope people will get the magazine and read it. We do have to take a 3-minute break, and then we have some more callers. And feel free to call in at 800-313-9443. We will be back in 3 minutes with Dr. Anthony Santelli, so stay tuned.
Flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over. Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Do you want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting's own Deanna Spingola authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Guest is Dr. Anthony Santelli, and can people get a hold of you? Or
yeah, they can go to my website, www.aescapital.com, and my phone number and email address are on there. That's probably the best way.
Okay, super, great. All righty, we do have some more callers. Let's take Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Hello, Deanna and Dr. Santelli. Very good show today, and I do agree that usury should be outlawed. Dr. Santelli, are you familiar with a businessman from the first part of the 20th century, Silvio Gazzelle or Gazzelle?
The name does not ring a bell, no.
Okay. He was a businessman. I believe he did a lot of shipping. He didn't own a ship. He just had to transport his goods, I believe. But he developed a system, and his idea is that money is just a medium of exchange, and the things it's supposed to represent, you know, tangible things, they wear out. So his idea was, are you familiar with something called the stamp script that they used during the Depression? And they used it a little bit here in the States, but...
Is this where money expires?
Well, it actually has a cost to it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a really good idea, I think, because it does encourage and increase the velocity of the money supply because, you know, it will lose value if you don't go ahead and use it. But it's a very good idea, and because it gives a, you know, like if it represents like wheat, any food you eat, any house, all those things deteriorate. So why shouldn't the thing that helps you buy them, you know, it shouldn't be able to increase in value like they do with interest. You know, and if you borrow money, my idea is if you borrow money, the person lending the money, he should get the payback in, you know, something tangible. Like you say, when you invest in a business or something. But anyway, I encourage you to look into that because it sort of goes along with the usury thing.
Yeah, people have raised that concept of stamping money such that it's valid up to a certain date, after which point it may reduce in value by 1%. So you have to exchange that for a new bill that is 1% less, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not really an advocate of that. You know, yes, it will increase the velocity of money, but it's sort of a backward way of addressing the core problem. The core problem is that fiat money, well, with respect to the money issue of things, now we're kind of off the usury topic, is that fiat currency, i.e. dollar bills, is backed by nothing. Okay, I mean, if it actually were a gold coin or a silver coin, you know, the whole idea of stamping it and giving it in and having them clip the coin and give you less back, that's ridiculous. Why would you ever do that? Okay, if you have an ounce of gold, you have an ounce of gold. It doesn't reduce in value. It is what it is. Okay, so the problem is really that we have paper currency that is backed by nothing. But again, we can address the issue of why do we have a paper currency that is backed by nothing? We had a gold standard, and then FDR's first act of his presidency in 1933 was to confiscate all the gold and then to revalue it from roughly $20 an ounce to $35 an ounce. It's because of the compound interest, the debt that the government owed up to that point, effectively bankrupted the government. So we currently have a fiat currency and we're off the gold standard because of usury. And when you look at people like Ron Paul who want to go back to a gold standard, well, you can't go back to a gold standard in a system that has usury. Okay, you're just going to have massive bankruptcies. You have to abolish usury first, and then you can go back to a gold standard. Because then you won't need to continually hyperinflate the currency.
Well, really, gold and silver, or anything you use as, you know, any metal like that, that's essentially fiat money, too. It's sort of like a cup. You know, I can monetize this cup, and then it's worth a whole lot more, but, you know, it's just a cup. But it's only...
Well, no, it's not fiat currency for two reasons. Number one, it can't be printed, okay? The government doesn't have the power to just print more units of gold or silver like it can pieces of paper. So because the government can't continually print it, it retains its value, okay? Now, there was a point in time when the New World was discovered and there were tremendous amounts of gold and silver discovered in the New World and brought back to Europe, and they did have inflation during that period of time, but that's a once-in-history event.
All righty. Let's hold your thoughts there. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors with our guest today, Dr. Anthony Santelli. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Extendivite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our leap year sale with prices from 5 years ago. From February 1st to February 29th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling, to help you help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A new book with a provocative viewpoint about where we are headed, who is taking us there, and why. And it's available now, today. Author, radio host, and research guru Howard Axtell presents his new book, The Human Food Factor. Our beliefs in harmony and hope are being replaced with fear and empty promises that simply don't hold water. False prophets bearing gifts continue to mold our planet in their own image for profit. They offer costly entitlements that we already paid for. Where did all our money go? Who took it? Who are they? Follow the money trail with author Howard Axtell and order a hard copy or ebook of The Human Food Factor at thehumanfoodfactor.com. This book is a must to connect the dots and to know the truth. To understand where America is headed, who is taking us there, and why. Do your part. Learn the facts. Order the book right now. Get a signed copy today on sale. The Human Food Factor at thehumanfoodfactor.com.
Modern medicine has given doctors miraculous powers. Using 21st century imaging technology, surgeons can peer inside the human body in extraordinary detail. Unfortunately for patients, there's virtually no transparency in the billing process. Too often, patients agree to surgical procedures without understanding the full cost of treatment. But all that is about to change. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is revolutionizing medicine with affordable surgical procedures and completely transparent pricing. Their board-certified surgeons perform over 7,000 surgeries per year at a fraction of the cost charged by traditional providers. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is perfect for individuals without insurance and people with high deductible plans. If you have a health savings account or self-funded plan, you should definitely consider our services. We even welcome patients from Canada and around the world. Check out our website for all-inclusive pricing at surgerycenterok.com. That's surgerycenterok.com. Or give us a call at 405-475-0678.
Today is Dr. Anthony Santelli. His website is aescapital.com. And you were talking about all the gold that was discovered in the New World and that it does have intrinsic value. Now, I'm not sure that whether Sherry hung up or not.
No, I'm still here. I got something about that.
Okay. So go ahead, doctor.
Yeah, I was basically making the point. Sherry mentioned that gold and silver our fiat currencies no different than the dollar bill. And I was drawing two distinctions. One, that they cannot be printed, and hence that they don't have, the government doesn't have the ability to significantly reduce its value through inflation. Then I was using the one opposite case in history, which kind of proves the point. When you find two new continents full of gold, well, in that case, yeah, then gold was reduced in value. But we're not about to find that anymore. And secondly, gold and silver have intrinsic value because they have industrial uses, particularly silver, and gold would certainly if we're not so expensive. It's a very highly conductive metal.
Well, before the New World was ever discovered, way back, in the East, China and India, they actually valued silver in relation to gold because they had less silver mines and more gold mines. I think that was the reason. But there were traders who were dominating the trade because they would take the cheaper silver, or they were were buying the gold cheap in the East with the silver they would take from the West, and vice versa. And it's interesting. I just finished a book by Joseph Farrell, Babylon's Banksters, where he makes a good case for how the it was kind of a, I would call it, conspiracy between the people that ran the temples, because they were the original money, you know, they were the ritual coiners, and the traders that went back and forth, the merchants, and the eventual rulers of the country, and how, where the mines were, that they all conspired to actually, you know, mining was, it's not a, you know, they generally have to have historically had to have slaves to do the mining.
Well, hold on. Now, that's an entirely different issue. Okay, I mean,
it still is just fiat, because we say it's worth something.
Not really, because there's just a limited amount of something, so you can't print it up, as Dr. Santelli said. So we do have some other callers.
All right,
so.
Thanks, Diana. Bye.
Thank
Diana.
You, Sherry. All righty, let's take Richard in Montreal. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hello, Diana.
Hi, Richard.
Everything fine with you these days?
Yes, indeed. And you?
Yes, same thing. I want to congratulate Dr. Santelli. Definition of the parable, interpretation of the parable. That was beautiful. Of course, starting with the prohibition of interest, the Christ figure, his prohibition is absolute. In other words, you can't be a Christian and be involved with interest. So that's absolute. And I'd like to add to the parable story with the fact that because it is a parable, he's making a comparison, and he's asking the disciples to compare their work to how interest works on money. In other words, if they went out and created their membership at the same rate that money compounds, then the Christian movement would move along quite nicely. Anyway, that just my thought on it. One thing about paper currency. Paper currency is backed by faith. So we really can't say that paper currency has no backing, because paper currency, like the U.S. dollar, is backed by faith. It's a confidence in the national character. Now,
actually, it's what it's really backed by is the fact that the government insists that you pay your taxes in the currency that they create. So that guarantees that there's a demand for it. Okay, it isn't just faith. I don't think that if there were no taxes I don't think that people would necessarily be holding on to dollar bills. But since you have to pay your taxes, and for that matter your debts, in this unit of currency, that creates a demand for it.
Yeah, it becomes legal tender. That's a government request, a requirement.
Yeah, it's not a faith issue, really. It's a force issue.
Well, we would probably differ, because interest on money is a leap of faith, just like a religious belief is a leap of faith. You have to believe that interest comes from money, and money can grow without earth or air or water or sunlight. So we believe that this non-item is growing. So it's
Dr. Santelli makes a comment in his article. He says money is not automatically productive.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah,
congratulations again.
I would say it's not an act of faith to believe that money grows. It's simply wrong. It doesn't grow. You have to have someone's ingenuity, invest it wisely, and profit from that. So, not really a faith issue.
This is because I'm having trouble with this. My followers, I'm not getting any followers on my requirement that people believe that interest on money is a leap of faith. But anyway, you seem to be doing quite well, and congratulations. Your interpretation of the parable was just elegant. I thought that was well done.
Welcome.
And the so that's about it. But I'd like to make a quick comparison. You know that all the religions begin with the leap of faith, and money is a religion. It also has this crazy leap of faith. So we're dealing here with an abstraction that's virtually.
I don't think that the Christian religion begins with a leap of faith, nor for that matter the Jewish religion. I think we're dealing with actual historical facts. Historical events that either happened or didn't happen. And if they happened, then the religion is true. If they didn't happen, then it's false. It's not a function of faith. It's really a question of what actually happened historically.
Yeah, you have to believe in certain aspects of each religion that are irrational.
No, it's not irrational. It's not irrational. Either Christ actually died on the cross and rose from the dead, or he didn't. And if he did, then he did. Then it's not irrational to believe something, a historical fact that actually happened. Now, you may say, well, I don't understand how that could happen because...
That's my leap of faith, you know, right there.
But that's not really faith. That's more like humility. I mean, it's...
we don't really
know how everything... No one knows everything. Do I know how a tree grows? No.
All right.
But, I mean, there's lots of things that we don't know, but
yeah,
we believe.
Can I
prove that Napoleon existed?
Well,
you know, I believe he exists. I don't know if I can prove it.
Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to make this parallel between the belief and interest growing. Is a leap of money growing with interest, is a leap of faith, just like all the other religions, have a really critical conviction, I'll call it a conviction rather than a leap of faith, about whatever triggers that basic religion. And so anyway, that's my idea. Money is a religion.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Deanna.
Richard is the author of Money, the 12th and Final Religion. It's a very interesting book.
Okay.
All right. Let's take Keith in Indiana. Keith, welcome to the program. Keith, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, okay, now I can.
Okay, heard a big beep. Well, hello, and I always call in on these discussions. And one of the biggest problems we have is a failure to hear the law. And I'm not talking about the ordinances that were nailed to the cross or blotted out that you read about in Ephesians 2 and Colossians 2. I'm talking about commandments to a people called Israel. In Deuteronomy 23...
Okay, but can you ask... Do you have a question for Dr. Santelli?
Make a comment. Except I'm just saying that the law says it is unlawful for an Israelite to lend at usury to a fellow Israelite, a brother. He does say that onto a stranger... A nokri, that's somebody who's not of the family of Israel, it is lawful to lend usury. Universalism is our problem. That's why we don't understand the Word of God, because we don't know the law anymore, because we don't know who we are anymore.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Let me address that, okay? The idea of, well, first of all, from the Christian perspective, we are all brothers, and hence the prohibition against lending money to one of your fellow Israelites is something that we adopt as Christians and apply to everyone. Okay?
I disagree, and I can prove to you where that is not true.
Go ahead.
All right, well, Romans 9, 3-5 confirms Psalm 147. If you read one sentence in three verses, Paul says clearly that the law, giving the law, pertains only to Israel according to the flesh, along with the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the contracts, giving the law the service of God and the promises. That confirms Psalm 147. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Now, if you listen to RBN at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and Bruce McCarthy, he has gone through the covenants. He did a proof through the Bible where the Gentiles, who they're so confused by, are the house of Israel, and the Jews
okay,
are the house
Keith,
of Israel.
Keith, I think you're going beyond what we're trying to cover here today.
Let me say it a different way then. All right, we don't have a monetary system. A credit system's not a monetary system. We never had a gold standard because 60% of the notes were fraudulent from the beginning because it was only 40% backed. We can't even call this money. We can't even get to the original right terms. But I'm saying as far as the law, if you want a solution to your problem, then you have to repent to become a hearer and doer of the law if you want to be justified by Christ.
Okay.
But nobody wants to deal with who Israel is.
Okay, well, hold on. Let me address that. Christ did say that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He didn't come to change one iota in the law, if I believe it. The precise sentence that you probably know the scriptural verse where that comes from.
Yes.
So that means that the law basically does apply to the followers of Christ. But the Christian perspective is that, you know, we are the new Israel. Okay, so the laws that apply to, you know, the Israelites.
Israel are the descendants of Jacob.
Keith, no. This is going beyond what the program is attempting to address. We're talking about usury today and in our country and how usury is destroying the economy and everything else. So I appreciate your call, but really, thank you for calling.
Let me just address one little point on that. Because someone may interpret it and say, okay, even if it does apply to Christians today, that just simply means that we don't charge usury to each other, but we can charge it to others. But if you go back to why the ancient Israelites were allowed to charge usury to others, it was basically a method of war by other means. Okay, they didn't charge this to their friends either. It was charged to people that if they basically wanted to destroy. And that's what usury does. Over time, it destroys people.
Exactly. And certainly, certain communities have used economic warfare. I feel like we're under the onslaught of economic warfare here in this country by the bankers and the collaborative Congress that should put a stop to this. I mean, this is economic warfare that we're experiencing.
Well, I mean, I think we're at the point that, you know, it's been so many hundreds of years that the average banker has no idea that anyone believes that there's something wrong with lending money in interest, and they've just never thought about the subject at all. I wouldn't attribute, you know, some sense of malice to all the bankers. I think a lot of them are just, you know, just trying to earn a buck in the way they know how, no different than anybody else. It happens that, you know, one of the main methods through which they know how should be something that's illegal.
Sure. Well, I know bankers, but you know, and I'm certain that they don't think that what they're doing is wrong. But when you look at the actual principle, and you recognize that there's an alternative, as you have explained, how it would look if we didn't have usury, we really do need to get rid of it.
I think that, you know, it's important to have these discussions and for more and more people to come to the realization that, hey, you know, this really is a problem. In fact, it's the root of most of our problems. And then, you know, maybe, you know, at some point the government will do something about it. You know, what makes it a little sad now is we've kind of reached the end game. Certainly, if you look at Europe, I think the United States probably has a few more years left, but before it gets bankrupt, but, you know, Greece, they're bankrupt already. And the sad thing there is that, you know, all they did was take haircuts on the principal, and yet they're still charging interest on what remains. What they should do is, you know, accept no more interest, but accept that they will get paid back on the money that they lent. And then over time, the Greek economy can recover and pay back those loans. But if even if it's a, they took, I think the number was a little over 50% haircut, but the remaining 50% is still compounding an interest. Give it a few years, and it'll be back as big as it was before, you know, a few months ago before they took the cut. And they'll be back in the same situation. So they did not solve the problem.
No, and it's a very sad thing, and a lot of people suffer from this because of this situation. All righty, we do have to take a break. We will be back in 3 minutes with our guest today, Dr. Anthony Santelli. So stay tuned.
Our bodies have different needs from person to person. Some need more of this, some more of that. But what is consistently the same about everyone is that we all need multiple vitamins and nutrients every day. But how to decide what's best? So many products out on the market make claims of being the best. Well, they can't all be the best. How can you know? Read and compare. Daniel Chapter 1's Endo 24 is packed full of all the vitamins, nutrients, protein, and carbs you need. Compared to Ensure or SlimFast, Endo 24 blows them out of the water completely. Get your full day supply of nutrients in Endo 24. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. And use the promo code 100A for a discount. That's promo code 100A. Call the order center and get your Endo 24, the full multivitamin, multinutrient meal replacement.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Our guest today has been Dr. Anthony Santelli. His website is aescapital.com, and you can contact him through that website. Did you want to make a comment? We have one more caller. Did you want to make a comment before we take...
Take the last caller.
Okay, Doug in New York, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Deanna. Good to hear from you. I just had a quick comment. First of all, I wanted to say that, Deanna, because of your show, that I am a subscriber monthly, so I encourage others. I agree richly with the good doctor that when I read Nehemiah 5 and 7, Nehemiah described that usury does put those that are around in slavery, I just want to hear his quick comment. And also, I agree with the other caller that said about your interpretation of that particular verse, that parable. I thought that was awesome. Also, I have to research it more. But I want to hear your comment about that Nehemiah 5 and 7, if you will, please.
Well,
I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I don't have that right off the top of my head as to, you know, what that says. But based on what, you know, there are other passages of Scripture that really indicate, you know, when usury does enslave people, I mean, debt enslaves people, and this was a major opposition to it. It's Dante also discussed usurers in his Inferno when he put them in the lowest circle of the seventh subcircle of hell, and he considered it a sin against creation itself, because you're not actually creating something, you're only pretending to create something. I kind of thought that idea is pretty ingenious. It does get to the point, because the money itself is not fruitful.
Right.
It just sits there. Someone else has to actually put it to use to make it grow. And it's not the money itself that's going, it's the productive capacity that he puts the use to. So you're basically stealing from someone else's ingenuity. Now, again, if you like the other guy's idea, then you should invest alongside him and take a percentage of his company for the money that you're putting into it. And then you incur the risk on the downside as well as the rewards on the upside. So, you know, lending money also has, at interest, has an interesting sub-fact to it, that you can lend to someone halfway around the world and have no idea what it is that they're doing with it. Okay, and you don't care. You say, well, this is compounding at 5%. I lent you $100. You owe me $105 at the end of the year, and on up from there. Whereas if you had to make an investment, it would require a significant amount of study in the person's company, in the people that you meet. And so it's a lot harder to make money with your money, because you only have a limited amount of time to do analysis on the companies that you're investing in. And so, overall, if you abolish usury, you'll have a wider distribution of wealth, because people who are billionaires would have that much more difficulty to make money on billions of dollars.
Interesting. We have run out of time. Thank you so very much, Dr. Santelli, for being on the program today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.